read of that, Jesus Christ lessons on prayer, and then one on church membership, why church membership is important. So have a look at those pamphlets in your spare time. Lamentations chapter 3, if you want to turn in your Bibles this morning. The book of Lamentations, one of those books we don't hear from very often. Right after the book of Jeremiah, also written by the prophet Jeremiah. The book of Lamentations. And chapter 3, beginning in verse 21 this morning. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21. The Bible says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." And that is the title of the message, "Great is Thy faithfulness." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, such a blessing to be here this morning. And Lord, we lift up our hearts to You now in praise. And Lord, requesting that You would speak to each one of us. And Lord, work a miracle in our lives. May Jesus Christ, our Savior, be magnified. May we lift up Your word. And Lord, may we leave saying it was good to be in the house of the Lord today. Thank You for this privilege. We give it to You and pray Your blessings upon every aspect now. In Jesus' name, amen. Beautiful passage of Scripture this morning. We get the song, "Great is Thy Faithfulness," from this passage. And as Jeremiah wrote here in verse 21, he said, sometimes we just need to recall, sometimes we just need to reflect and remember on the things that God has done in our lives, because sometimes things can be a bit dark. Sometimes we can have trials that are quite intense. And it's at those times, because that's what Lamentations means. It means crying out. It means sorrow. Jeremiah wrote this through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to remind us that life can sometimes be tough. And it's in those times that it's really good to just stop and recall what God has done. And you know, David had learned that same lesson. If you go to Psalm 77, I'll show you an example where David, in the midst of his trial, had done the same thing. He stopped and he said, "I'm going to remember what God has done for me." Psalm 77, look at verse 11 if you would. And this is just one example. There's many in Psalms where David reflects back to what God has done. But he says, "I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember Thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all Thy work and talk of Thy doings." David said, "I will remember. I'm going to remember what God has done in my life, because God is good all the time. And even though I'm in the midst of some pain right now and some trials, God is good and God is watching out for me. And I'm going to remember how good God has been to me in the past." And that's what Jeremiah is saying here. Saying, "I'm going to recall what God has done." And if you go back to our passage, Lamentations 3:21, he says, "Therefore, I have hope." You know, a lot of our hope is built on what we've been through already. You know, the Bible says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." As we hear the Word of God, we grow. Our faith grows. And as we experience the power and the grace of God in our lives, our hope grows. And that's what he's saying here. He says, "As I recall what God has done for me in the past, it helps me to have hope. Therefore, I have hope." And God wants us to have hope in Him. If we're Christians, of course, we have the greatest hope, which is the hope of eternal life, the hope of heaven. But we're to have hope in the midst of even this troubled world in which we live. David said in Psalm 119, 114, "Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in Thy word." And we can always go to the Word of God and find hope. If you go to Romans chapter 15, I want to show you a passage on hope where God encourages us to hope in Him, because the Bible even refers to Him as the God of hope. The God of hope. Romans 15, verse 13. If you turn there, please. The Bible says, Romans 15, 13, "The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." God wants us to abound in hope, because God is the God of hope. And we are to have hope. all the time. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 6 that Jesus Christ, he says, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul in Hebrews 6:19. Jesus Christ is our hope. We can go to His Word for hope. And in the midst of the trials that we might face, as we recall what God has done, as Jeremiah says here, therefore, I have hope. Verse 22 of our passage, the Bible says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. You know, sometimes we can forget, especially we've been saved a while, that we don't deserve any of the blessings of God. None. We don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve God's kindnesses. We definitely don't deserve His mercies. And sometimes, if we've been saved a while, the devil whispers in our ear and says, well, you're a good Christian. You know, you deserve all these blessings. We don't. We're going to heaven because God is good and God is gracious and God is loving, not because of us. God blesses us because God is a great God and God loves His children and God is gracious, not because of us. And it's of the Lord's mercies, He says, that we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not. Look at Psalm 103, if you would, where David expresses this same sentiment about the blessings not being deserved. And I think this is a good perspective, because sometimes when we go through trials, we stop and think, well, this isn't fair. I shouldn't have to be going through this. Well, first of all, whoever told you life was fair? Drove my kids crazy. You know, they'd always say, well, it's not fair. He gets to do this or she gets to do that. And I'd say, life isn't fair. Then you die. Dad's famous saying. Everything has to be fair with kids, right? Everything has to be equal and fair. Life isn't fair. And we have to realize that the trials we're going through are part of what God wants for us. And it's not about fairness. It's about what God wants. Notice Psalm 103, verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so is great mercy toward them that fear Him. In other words, verse 10 is telling us that, yes, even as God's children, if God dealt with us after our sins every day, we would spend the whole day getting spanked. Let's face it. Because we sin every day. But God doesn't deal with us after our sins. We're His child. He loves us. And God blesses us despite ourselves. Doesn't He? And that's what Jeremiah is expressing here. He says, it's of His mercies that we're not consumed. He's good to me, even though I don't deserve for Him to be good to me. He blesses me, even though I shouldn't be blessed, because I keep failing Him. And He says His compassions fail not. There in Lamentations 3:22, His compassions fail not. God is a God of compassion, a God of mercy, a God of love. And we need to have a right perspective on how good our God really is. As He says there in the next verse, they are new every morning. Every day is a new day to enjoy the goodness of God, the mercies of God, the compassions of God. And I think we as Christians need to learn to stop every day and reflect on how good He really is to us. You know, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is a new day, and God's going to bless me today. Maybe He's going to bless me with a trial, but He's going to bless me, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. David says in Psalm 5:3, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto Thee and will look up. He said, every morning I'm going to stop, I'm going to pray, I'm going to look up, Lord, and I'm going to be thankful for how good You are. We need to do the same. Look at Psalm 68, please, where David talked about God's daily blessings. I love this verse. You could preach a whole message on this. Maybe I will. Psalm 68:19. The Lord says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits." God says every day He loads us with benefits. The benefits of being a Christian. Now that would be quite a message, wouldn't it? Think about it. The benefits of being a Christian. God daily loadeth us with benefits. And as He said, we don't deserve one of them. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. He says they're new every morning. David said, every morning I'm going to stop and I'm going to reflect and I'm going to thank God for how good He is to me, that His compassions fail not. They're new every morning. You know why God is this way? Because it is the way God is. We're blessed to have a Creator that is holy, and we're blessed to have a Creator that is merciful and compassionate, and a Creator that is faithful. He finishes that verse there by saying, "Great is thy faithfulness." Look, if you would, at 1 Peter 4, where the Bible teaches that faithfulness is part of God's nature. God is faithful because God is faithful. We're faithful because we got to work at it. Because we don't have a tendency to want to be faithful. We're naturally lazy and selfish. But God doesn't have to work at it. It's part of who God is. Notice 1 Peter 4:19. The Bible says, "Wherefore let them suffer, or let them that suffer according to the will of God, commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." A faithful Creator. That's God. He's faithful. All the time. Whatever God does, it's faithful. However God does it, it's faithful. The Bible says in Psalm 118:86, "All thy commandments are faithful." God is faithful. And Jeremiah finishes this time of praise and reflection with this great phrase, "Great is thy faithfulness." I tried to do a search and I found at least seven ways where God manifests His faithfulness to us. I'm going to share those with you quickly. Number one, in forgiveness. Most of you know 1 John 1:9, one of the most important verses for a Christian's daily living. What does it say? If we confess our sins, He is, help me out, what's the next word? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Every time we come to God and confess our sins, He forgives us. Why? Because He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful and just to forgive us. So I've heard people say to me, "Oh, but you don't understand. I brought this same sin to God 100 times. That's not what counts. What counts is that God is faithful. And therefore, because He is faithful, He will always forgive. So His faithfulness is manifested in forgiveness. It's also manifested, number two, in answered prayer. Look at Psalm 143 and verse 1, if you would. And this is another way that God manifests His great faithfulness to us, is by answering our prayers. Psalm 143, look at verse 1. Psalm 143, verse 1. "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness." God answers prayers because God is faithful. Not because we deserve to have our prayers answered. We don't. But He's faithful. "In thy faithfulness." David understood this. He said, "Lord, answer me in thy faithfulness. Answer me because of who you are, not because of who I am." And so his faithfulness is manifested in forgiveness and in answered prayer. His faithfulness is also manifested in His promises. If you look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, Notice what the Bible says. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. I've heard someone say there's over 8,000 promises in the Bible. I've never counted them myself. But the Bible says the one who made the promises is faithful. And God manifests His faithfulness through His promises, that we can claim them and know that He will answer them and fulfill them because He is faithful. It's part of His nature. He's also faithful in His leading in our lives. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you would, in verse 24. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 24, where God also reveals His faithfulness in His leading in our lives. Look what He says. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. I love that verse. It's a short verse, but it says so much. In other words, if God calls you to do something, then He'll do it through you. Because He's faithful. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. And so His faithfulness is revealed in His forgiveness, His answered prayer, His promises, His leading, and also in His grounding or establishing. While you're in 1 Thessalonians, look at chapter 3. In verse 3, where the Bible says, but the Lord is faithful. 1 Thessalonians 3:3. Or is it 2 Thessalonians 3:3. That's why nobody was finding it. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Every Christian needs more established, more grounded, more settled in God's Word. In God's ways, God is faithful, who shall establish us. Number 6, and this is the one we really weren't necessarily thrilled to hear. God is faithful to afflict us. Look at Psalm 119, verse 75, if you would. Because, as we know, and as God teaches in His Word, afflictions are good for us. Psalm 119, verse 75. God knows what's best for us, and God knows what it takes to refine us and make us more like Jesus Christ. And a big part of that is afflictions. They're good for us. The Bible says so. Notice for Psalm 119, 75. I know, O Lord, that Thy judgments are right, and that Thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. How many times do we say, Lord, this isn't right. I shouldn't be going through this. Please take it away. Paul tried that with the thorn. God said, I'm not taking that thorn away. You need that thorn. My strength is made perfect in weakness. I'm leaving it there, Paul. You need it. Because I'm faithful and I'm going to do what's best for you. Thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. So God is faithful in our afflictions. And lastly, God is faithful in our temptations. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Most of you already know this verse. But what a beautiful truth about God's faithfulness when we face temptations. Look what it says. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But look at the next three words. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. When we're tempted, God is faithful. There's always a way out through God. That's what He says. He will make a way of escape. So God is faithful. It's of His mercies that we're not consumed. They're new every morning. And Jeremiah, in the midst of his crying out to God, in the midst of his crying on behalf of Israel, he said, I'm going to reflect on what God has done. I'm going to hope in the Lord. I'm going to remember that God is good every day. that His compassions are new every morning. And I'm going to reflect on the fact that God is great in His faithfulness. You know, if you go to Psalm 89, we'll finish in this verse. We actually sung this a couple months ago. Psalm 89, verse 1. And now that you sang it for a month, I wonder if you noticed that the word faithfulness was in there. It says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to who? All generations. God's faithfulness is so great and so amazing and so wonderful. God even wants us to sing about it and tell others about it. Because great is thy faithfulness. You know, as you reflect on your Christian life, as you reflect on your daily walk with the Lord, you know what should come back is just a reminder that our God is faithful. Every day He's good to us. He's kind. He's compassionate. He's merciful. And when you think about where God has brought you, where you are today, where He's brought you from, what He's brought you through, you know what it should do? It should cause us to just reflect, great is thy faithfulness. He's worthy of that. He's worthy of that kind of praise. Great is thy faithfulness. Let's pray.